We'll say good day to you this day of your time. How are you all? All right. First and foremost, we would like to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you for co-creating the opportunity for this transmission, this day of your time, and in this way. Each and every time any member or group in your civilization allows us to communicate with you in this way, it forms a link, it forms a bridge between our respective realities, and through that link and through that bridge, it creates the vibration of a new third reality in which we can every day more and more interact more closely, if, of course, that's your wish. It's up to you. The idea of contact with other civilizations is, of course, from our perspective, not something that should be forced on anyone. And one of the reasons why this kind of process takes a while is because we want to make sure it is always according to your choice, according to your preference. And not only that, but there are considerations that have to do with energy, psychology, and the foundations and fundamentals of your society. All these things must be taken into account and gauged and paced so that the process of forming contact takes its cue always from the rate at which your civilization is comfortable in allowing such a thing to happen. We will always respond to the invitation for contact from a civilization and have done so many times, but we always take our time to observe what the parameters of that civilization are on all levels possible to ensure that such a process of acclimatization is something that will happen in a way that best benefits the civilization with whom we are making contact and happens in a way that the civilization can best process and apply in their own understanding of such things. For it would serve no purpose and no point at all for our, shall we say, presence to create disruption in your society. And we understand from observing and interacting with many of you, for many of your years of counting, that there are many individuals and many groups in your society that would find our presence disruptive according to what they believe their society is, according to how you have structured your society with regard to many different disciplines. It is always on our part wise to be cautious about exactly what kind of impact and effect the interaction with another civilization will have. And so, we take our time, we take the idea of precaution and open contact in ways that are relatively unobtrusive. For example, this kind of contact now that you are experiencing through the channel before you. Very often you will find that what we do is we will, the beings that are trained in contact with other civilizations, will actually choose from the spirit level an incarnation in that society. And as such, as example, the channel before you, the physical being before you, is my past self in your society. And I am what you would call in your future. But the idea is that by having a life, having an experience in the reality that is destined for contact, we thus then gather through that life, through that experience, an understanding of that civilization we otherwise would not have. Were it not for the fact that we have lives in the worlds that we eventually contact, we would be far too alien to each other to even understand each other conceptually. And so, by having the life, we gather experience, we gather understanding, we gather knowledge, and we recognize that we can draw upon that to gauge, help us gauge the rate at which and the style in which communication might best serve the overall purpose of the contact. And so, by using our own past selves as, shall we say, for lack of a better term, biological transceivers, We thus are capable of opening up a dialogue with the civilization in question. And by opening up a dialogue in this way, we thus then give off a certain frequency, a certain vibration of energy that attracts those to it who are of similar vibration, in a sense, at least to some degree, or at least curious about such things, or open to such ideas to a certain degree, and thus begin, through such people as you call channels, dialogues that allow you to absorb information in your own way, in your own time, at your own pace. And by doing it in this fashion, it remains relatively unobtrusive, primarily because this particular style, this particular approach, does not in any way, shape, or form insist that you have to believe that we are who we say we are. And thus, it allows the contact to have a very, very light touch upon your society, because anyone can simply walk away from the conversation with any idea in mind that they wish to have about what just occurred. And we do not, in that sense, thus force our presence upon you, and thus interfere with your ability to decide whether or not the information works for you, whether or not the source that you believe it came from is actually the source. It allows the information itself to be paramount. And that is the most important thing. We are not important in this contact. You are important in this contact, because it's your civilization, it's your world, and we will always take our cue from you as to what you believe is best for your society. We will never interfere, we will never push. That would serve no point, because if we did push, if we did intervene, if we did interfere, then we'd only be interacting with the version of your society that our influence had created, and we would not then be able to really appreciate the unique point of view you bring to reality, to creation. This is one of the reasons that we do these things, that we interact with other civilizations such as your own, is because each and every being and each and every civilization is unique and allows us a unique perspective, a unique understanding of yet another way that creation has of expressing itself. And we learn just as much as you may learn from us. Because there are many things that you do on your planet we don't do. Yes, I know. And that is why many times we have created what might be called a little bit of a nickname for you in your language. We call you the Masters of Limitation. But that is not meant in any way, shape, or form in the negative. You see, from our point of view, in our experience, there are not many other civilizations we have encountered at this point that have experienced the idea of limitation to the degree that your world has. A few have, but not many. It's rare. But the idea is that makes you very powerful. It makes you very strong, because it's a very strong choice to make. You might euphemistically call your world and the few others that might be similar difficult schools, where you have the opportunity as beings, as souls, as consciousness, as spirit, to actually forget that you are connected to creation. For most civilizations, that's very difficult to do. But you have achieved it. You have mastered it. And that is a thing to be cherished. For only in such an experience of forgetfulness can you remember yourselves, can you rediscover yourselves from a very unique perspective. You can actually experience creation in the making, in that sense, the actual mechanism of manifestation, which on other levels would happen more or less instantaneously. You create a space-time frame of reference that allows you to actually slow the process down in such a manner and in such a way that it actually allows you to think about what choices you are making. You have created a world where choice is key, where you actually have an experience in making a choice, not just an instantaneous manifestation. Now, eventually, you will learn or remember how to create instantaneous manifestations as well. But you will have done that by coming through having forgotten how to do so. And that will add to the richness of the experience of your soul. And that will add to the richness of the experience of all that is. Because each and every one of you, as we said, is a unique point of view of creation. And creation cherishes, in that sense, values, in that sense, every single perspective, every single point of view. It adds to the totality of what you understand to be the infinite all that is. So it is a powerful thing to have chosen. It is, all right, if you wish, a brave thing to have chosen. But you are truly masters of it, because after what you would call hundreds, if not thousands, of incarnations in the idea of an experience of a forgetting plane, of a difficult plane, of a limited plane of existence, you are now arriving at a place and time in your cycle of life on your planet where you're beginning to remember who you really are. And that's what the whole idea of the so-called spiritual movement and the awakening movement and the new age movement on your planet is all about. You're arriving at the end of the cycle of forgetting who you are, because you've done just about every style of forgetting that you can do. You've played out just about every kind of limitation on earth that you can do. All of you, in all of the different kinds of incarnational experiences you have had, have experienced being the victim and the perpetrator, the poor and the rich, the queen and the beggar. You have all experienced the extremes of the polarities that can be experienced on your planet. And now you are arriving in a place and time where you are bringing all that to bear, pulling all that experience together to remind yourself now of how you can draw upon the richness of that experience to make these lives now, in your new time, your now time, be truly more representative of the kind of world you would like to have, to actually truly learn how to bring heaven down to earth. That's what it's all about, is manifesting a new reality that has never been manifested in a sense before in creation. By transforming the darkness into the light, you are creating a completely new experience that adds to the overall ability of all that is to experience itself. And that is a beautiful gift to have given to all that is, and we commend you for it, and we thank you for it, and we have absolute appreciation and gratitude for your willingness to have co-created that kind of an experience amongst yourselves. You are very powerful beings. Don't ever forget that. Now, now that you have arrived at a point where you're beginning to remember this, you are also becoming more aware of more things. You are becoming aware, once again, that there are realities beyond the physical. You are remembering that you are not just a physical person. You are aware of the idea that there are other beings in creation that also exist all around you. And you can thus then, as you have, begin to arrive at a point where you reach out with your minds, where you reach out with your souls, where you reach out with your hearts and your consciousness in a variety of ways, and reconnect to all of those other members of all that is, family members in a sense, that exist in other places, other times, other realities. You are gathering yourselves back together in an integrated way, leaving the ideas of segregation and separation behind now that they have served you, and are moving toward the idea of pulling yourself together in a more holistic way. And as you do that, you change your frequency, you change your vibration, you give off a completely different kind of energy that to us is like a marker, a sign, a signal, and an invitation that you are ready to begin a dialogue on a certain level that helps you remember more of who you are and helps you remember that there are others out here who also appreciate you and would love to interact with you and together expand together and create a new reality yet again on a different level altogether than what you've been creating. And so the dialogues have begun, not just from us, obviously. Many of you are aware that there are many different sources of information coming through many of you in a variety of ways. It doesn't have to be this way at all. Many of you are reconnecting to your own higher selves, your own guides, your own inner creative being the source of all that is. And you're doing it in a variety of ways creatively, through business, through art, through music, through whichever idea, through whichever methodology represents your particular unique expression of who you are in this life. And you're beginning to understand, not only just in what you call your metaphysical movement, but even in your quantum physical movement, the idea that space and time are really just your manufactured framework. It's just an illusion in a sense, but one that you can use to your advantage to experience a variety of things. You are beginning to unlock the idea of time and space in a variety of ways, and many of you are beginning to find time and space a little more slippery than it used to be. Finding that there are weird sort of phenomenologies happening in your lives where time and space seem to shift a little bit, where you wind up in places you're not sure how you got to or didn't think you had enough time to get through but got there anyway. Stretching space and time a little bit, playing with that idea and recognizing that that concept is all simply happening inside your consciousness, even as many of your scientists now are beginning to understand. It is a basic tenet of your quantum physics that there really is no reality outside you separate from what it is you decide to observe. This is a primary core idea in your metaphysical belief systems as well. The two are merging. You are dropping barriers, dropping the idea of separation, and beginning to see the commonality in many different things that heretofore were different disciplines. They're now all merging into one understanding, one, if you wish, unified field of consciousness, so that you can begin to express yourself in a number of ways, and also so that you can begin to gather together from a number of different disciplines the ideas that can all arrive at the same place in concordance and harmony and agreement, so you can move forward as a civilization, creating your world to be truly what you wish it to be. On the idea that you are beginning to realize that time and space are illusions, you are beginning to reassess and redefine the concepts, even spiritual concepts, that you have believed in for a while, redefining them, as you say in your language, tweaking them to be a little bit more precisely representative of your new point of view of creation. For example, even in ancient spiritual teachings, you talk about, and we have just mentioned briefly a moment ago, the idea of reincarnation. Now, yes, you do have other lives, but the idea or the definition of reincarnation is still from a perspective of a linear space-time frame of reference, and that one thing happens after another. But many of you are beginning to recognize that that is not so. All things exist simultaneously. They all exist right now. All the lives you have ever had are having or will have all coexist right now, but they are separated in frequency. We often use what is called the television analogy to illustrate this point. We understand you have a device on your planet called a television. You can sit down in front of it and you can watch a program. At any given moment, you can watch a particular program out of a choice of many. The point is, if you think about it, you will know that at that moment you are watching one program. All the other programs you could be watching are no less real, are no less there for your choosing. They all coexist at the same time, but you only get the one your television happens to be tuned to at that moment. The idea is similar in the structure and nature of existence itself. All your experiences exist simultaneously. You, the you you are here and now on Earth, is a particular idea, a particular perspective. It has a particular frequency, and it will only experience the reality, the reflection that it is tuned to at any given moment. But because you are broadening your understanding, many of you are capable now of picking up on the bandwidths, shall we say, of other life experiences. More concretely, the veils are dropping between them, and you can begin to recognize that you always have had communication from all your other selves, that you can absorb into this life and use that information from those experiences in other lives to aid and assist you in this one, even as other lives that you are living are drawing from your experiences in this one. There is cross-communication going on all the time. And the idea now that has come up where many of you are curious about your other lives is in and of itself a sign that you're beginning to be aware of this cross-communication. You're beginning to be aware of the fact that all these lives coexist simultaneously, and that to access information from a life, you don't actually have to reach into the dim, dark past or stretch into the far, distant future. No, it's all right here, right now, and really can be accessed just as easily as flipping the channel on your television. Because they all coexist. It's all just information. And the only way you experience the idea of separation is just because you have assigned different ideas to it, different definitions, different frequencies to these different experiences, to make them different experiences. That's the very definition of differentiation, is simply the idea of a different point of view of the same one thing that's here and now. Because it all exists here, it all exists now, but you, made in the image of creation, can look at anything, look at the here and now from any point of view that you wish within your consciousness. And all those different points of view actually manifest completely different experiences in different dimensions as you define them. So when you talk about the idea of living in a space-time reality with physical material properties, the only way you can really understand, or shall we say translate, the concept of multiple simultaneous incarnational experiences is to think of it linearly. That was then, this is now, that will be. But it all exists right here and right now and is completely and absolutely and totally accessible to you. We bring this up primarily because the civilization such as our own that you are developing an ability to contact, many of them operate with this knowledge in place every day, every moment, all the time. Our reality experience is very different from your reality experience. The very idea that we can even communicate with you in this way is part and parcel of our willingness to understand that the so-called space-time barriers don't really exist. Because everything is a parallel reality, in a sense, another dimension, in a sense. And if we had the same kind of definitions that you did, we would not even be able to know that you exist or find you in any way, shape, or form, and certainly not perform this kind of communication. But because we understand that those are illusions now in our civilization, we have the ability of understanding that what's going on in our minds, in our imaginations, in our consciousness, is actually happening in your reality too. That this communication actually does cross, in a sense, from our reality to yours. And in that sense, actually has an effect, and get a reflection of that effect back from you. Since all things are one, we do understand the idea that, yes, we know we could just be talking to ourselves, and there's no one on the other end of this telephone conversation. At the same time, if you really think about it, you can't really prove that anyone else in your reality exists anyway. It could all be figments of your imagination. Nevertheless, that does not change the fact that you can have some pleasant conversations. And that having pleasant conversations with all of the reflections in your reality still can allow you to change your perspective. Your consciousness can give you different ideas to explore, can allow you to express yourself in different ways. And that's really all it is. It's information, it's consciousness interacting with itself in different ways, creating different levels in which to experience itself in different ways. That's all that is. All of you, all of us, every being in creation on every level of creation are simply all the different ways that all that is has of experiencing itself. So you could say, perhaps, if you wish, that all that is the ultimate multiple personality, the ultimate schizophrenic. Nevertheless, that's what reality is. That's all it is consciousness interacting and intersecting with itself from all the different points of view that are possible for that consciousness to interact with itself in. That's all creation is. That's all experience is. And the only thing that really is real, per se, is the experience itself. Physical reality is just a mirror. It's just a reflection. It's just an illusion. What is real about it is the experience you create of it for yourself. That is what you take with you into your soul, into your consciousness. The experience as you define it. Thus then you can understand that in your attempts to manifest different kinds of realities, in your attempts to change your reality in ways that you may prefer, it really isn't about changing the outer reality. It's about changing yourself. It's about changing your perspective in order to get a different experience. Again, by analogy, we often use the mirror to illustrate this point. You have on your planet the idea of physical mirrors in which you can see your physical reflection. Physical reality is literally the very same idea. It's only a reflection, just like your reflection in the mirror. Now, if you're looking into a mirror and you see the reflection on your face frowning, you don't go over to the mirror and try to stretch the reflection into a smile. You understand that would be pointless. You understand the only way to see the reflection smile is for you to smile first. Then the reflection has no choice but to reflect that back to you. But what you have, because of your, shall we say, experience with limitation, come to believe, is that you have to change the outer reality first before you're willing to be happy in your inner reality. If you understand that your outer reality only takes its cue from you, then the choice to simply be who you prefer to be first is what will allow the outer reality reflection to reflect that back to you. But again, don't base it on the idea of what you see happening in the outer reality. Base it on the idea of how you respond to the reality, even if it looks the same. Because that's what lets you know you've really changed. Not gauging it on the idea of, well, I thought I was more spiritual than this. Why is this still happening in my life? This doesn't look like anything I wanted in my spiritual reality. But you must understand that all things are fundamentally neutral. No thing actually has built-in meaning. In fact, one of the greatest gifts that creation has given to all beings in creation, and don't take this in a negative way, because I don't mean it that way, is that life is meaningless. Absolutely meaningless. And what we mean by that is that nothing has built-in meaning. Everything is fundamentally neutral. Every situation, every circumstance is just a neutral prop. You have free will to assign meaning to life. You give life meaning. And when you give life a certain meaning, that's the effect you will get from that circumstance. Whatever meaning you put into something is the effect you will extract from something. So positive meaning in, positive effect out. Negative meaning in, negative effect out. This is just physics. That's all it is. It starts out neutral, but because of the way your civilization has been structured, you have been brought up to believe that certain things automatically mean certain things. And by having that automatic subconscious application, you don't even know you're doing it. You don't even know you're assigning meaning to things when they happen. You get certain effects and then sit there and scratch your heads and wonder why that happened. Why did you get that? Why do you feel this way? Why do you feel that way? It's all because of the definitions and belief systems you've been brought up to believe are true. And by assigning those meanings to all the situations in your life, you get a certain reflection. You get a certain kind of feedback, vibrationally. So, now is the age upon your planet where you're beginning to wake up to the understanding that you are creating your experience of reality, and that you are beginning to recognize that the way you do that is actually through your definitions of reality, your belief systems of reality, and getting in touch with what those definitions are and getting in touch with what those belief systems are is what will allow you to truly, truly experience the changes you say you wish to make. Now, again, the idea is that when you truly have changed, it's not about whether the outer reality looks different, because every situation can actually serve double duty. It's about how you respond differently to that that will really then allow your reality the best opportunity to reflect to you what it is you prefer, in effect, in energy, in your life. So the idea is not to gauge what's going on in you by what's going on out there in terms of your success, your barometer of success, but to simply choose what you prefer, what state you prefer to be in, and understand that if you apply that point of view to everything that is happening in your life, no matter then what anyone else's intention in those situations might be, The only effect you will get out of your life is a positive one if you've only applied a positive meaning to that situation. That's your ability, your free will to determine utterly and completely. The universe cannot contradict you. When you believe in something, the universe completely supports you. Absolutely always has, absolutely always will. There is never a moment you are not supported. But Bashar, I feel unsupported. Yes, I know. But you see, then, if you have a belief that you cannot be supported, the universe is supporting you in your lack of belief that you can be supported. That's the paradox. That's what you want to get a hold of. That's what you want to focus on, is the power of the paradox in the situation. First, you have to understand you are always supported. Believe me, if you just look at it logically, if you were not completely, utterly, and always continuously and constantly supported, you wouldn't exist. So, if you exist, you're being supported. The question is not, are you being supported? The question is, what are you being supported in? You will always be supported by the universe in your strongest belief, because you have been given free will, and the universe takes its cue from you. Utterly. If you want to believe in lack, I support you in your belief. Have all the lack you want. That's how it works. But if you believe in abundance, the universe will not contradict you. It will support you as easily and effortlessly in the idea of your belief in abundance and creativity and love, as equally as it has supported you in any belief you may have had in the idea of lack and struggle and self-doubt. You see, this is the ultimate paradox. You are unconditionally supported, unconditionally loved, unconditionally. You are so unconditionally loved, you are even allowed to believe you are not unconditionally loved. That's how unconditionally loved you are. All that is loves you so much, it will still allow you to believe you are not loved if that's what's important for you to experience. It loves you that much, unconditionally. Look it up in your own dictionaries. It means without condition of any kind whatsoever. Bless you.